Hello, and welcome to Apparitions and Alibis. I am your host, AJ Stallman, and this is a special episode. Today, I have with me two other podcasters who are honestly just so good and so funny. Shelby and Charlie are from the Cite Your Sources podcast, which is a great entertainer for covering the details behind true crime, strange happenings, the paranormal, conspiracy theories, and all the weird offbeat topics that haunt your mind when you're alone, which I 100% stole off their Facebook. So since I am admitting that, it means you are now obligated to go follow them on Facebook. Today we are discussing weird and peculiar people, people in history that are just bewildering or strange. So why don't you guys go ahead and start.
Okay, I'm going to start with, I just got the biggest smile ever when you went through verbatim exactly what our show is.
I do my best.
I was like, my God, somebody actually pays attention. I feel seen, I feel respected, I feel heard.
You are valued.
Yes, I feel validated and valued. But yeah, we're talking about Rasputin. Anybody that doesn't know, he's quite an interesting dude. There's actually currently a very popular TikTok trend going around with a song specifically about Rasputin. I don't know the words, but it's good. But yeah, I've heard the name plenty of times. I've never actually looked into him until now. So I think Charlie might actually have a little bit more insight on him. So I'm going to just kind of pass this over to her.
Yeah, so Rasputin, he was born the 21st of January in 1869 to a peasant family in a Siberian village. That village, forgive me for my pronunciation,
Pokrovskoy
in the Yarkovsky district of Tyumen Oblast. That's where he was born. And I had no idea before taking any of these notes that he was from Siberia. But that aside, so Rasputin would take a religious trip in 1897 that had supposedly transformed him. Some people described him as a monk or stenic, which translates to wanderer or pilgrim, even though he held absolutely no official position within the Russian Orthodox Church. Another thing I did not know. Sometime between 1903 and 1905, he traveled to St. Petersburg in Russia, where he, quote, captivated some church and social leaders, end quote, and became a society figure, eventually meeting Emperor Nicholas and Empress Alexandra in November of 1905.
I see AJ's got her hand up.
Yeah, I have my hand up. The only thing I have known about Rasputin is from the movie Anastasia, which is the best animated movie ever.
Yes.
I think that's the only one I haven't yes. seen.
You have to. I saw it on Broadway and just Ooh. Beautiful. They took Rasputin out and it was more of the actual war and the military in it, but still very good. But I also saw on Netflix, there was a show that was loosely about him. And I think it's hilarious that you're talking about like the Russian Orthodox Church and like being described as a monk because there was so much sex.
Yeah.
Naked boobies everywhere. All of it.
Oh, everywhere. Yeah. No, he was a horn dog. Dude was like nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. He just seemed like everyone was so attracted to him. But you see like pictures and you're like, why?
Yeah. He's got those Ted Bundy eyes.
Yeah, no, his eyes are just weird. But the, mm-hmm. like, the only lyrics of the song about him, like the TikTok one, is there was a man in Russia long ago. He was big and strong. And I think it says, like, his eyes were made of gold. And I'm like, no, they were not. They were made of psycho shit.
His eyes are quite literally the definition of piercing.
Yes.
Yeah.
He is just looking through you.
Yeah, I wonder if people were just scared and they just like were like, yes,
just did what he wanted.
Let me live.
Because I think I've seen drawings of him where like when they do his eyes, they color him like a very faint lavender and they just put like spirals. They're just like hypnotic eyes or something.
I'm googling them.
Yeah, me too.
What was your friend's name again that you showed us a picture of?
Oh my god.
And some of his heavier photos, I just looked up Rasputin, some of the heavier ones, they kind of look like you could kind of see
a little bit of a resemblance. Yeah. It's the beard, isn't it? Yeah.
But the nose.
Oh, yes. Oh, actually, hold on. Here it is. I was wrong. They don't put spirals. It just looks like they do. It's a little cartoon image.
That bald spot he's got going right in the middle of the front of his head is...
That's just because he doesn't have a widow's peak like some of us, Charlie.
What? What does that have to do with the widow's peak? It's past his hairline.
No, no.
Yeah.
It's a reverse widow's peak.
It's nothing to do with having a widow's peak. Ugh.
Oh, anyway. Dang, I forgot to introduce us as Charlie Do-Rags and Shelby Talks a Lot.
Don't call me that.
Okay. So yeah, he did all of that. He's got these big weird eyes or whatever we just talked about. In 1906, by the time he'd turned 37, he'd actually begun to act as like a healer to someone named Alexei, who was actually the emperor and empress's only son. And unfortunately for Alexei, he suffered from hemophilia. And in case anyone doesn't know, hemophilia is when your blood does not clot properly. Taking on the role of, you know, a so-called healer actually caused quite a bit of controversy. And that would stir up rather quickly in Russian circles. And nobody liked him. They all thought he was a scammer. So in the courts, he was seen as, you know, a divisive figure. And in the church, he was seen as a charlatan. For once, I'm going to agree with the church. And some folks saw him as a mystic, a visionary, and possibly even a prophet. And he would become more directly involved with the Russian government in 1915, when Nicholas II left to oversee Russia's armies during World War I. However, while the Russians were out there collecting L's left and right, it caused Alexandra and Rasputin to become more and more disliked by the public. She was very quickly seen as just a puppet of Rasputin. So that's just a quick little rundown of his life without, really spoiling the surprise ending.
So we've already covered that he was born in 1869, and I was unaware that he'd supposedly received very little schooling and probably never learned to read or write. He did learn to read and write at some point, but it wasn't until he was an adult. And even in his early years, people from the village where he lived suggested that he had some type of supernatural powers, whereas others described him as just cruel.
Yeah, for a lowly peasant, he'd go on to do some pretty interesting things. It's also rumored that his name means where two rivers meet, which allegedly gives patronage to where he was born. I looked into it a little bit further and found an etymology? Mm-hmm. Etymology? Website that reads, quote, acquired name, Russian, literally.
I think debauchery.
Debauchery. Debauchery. Well, when I first read it, I thought it said douchebag. And I was like, oh.
Well, that too. I mean, modern terms.
Right? Y'all just didn't want to say all these big names. That's all it is.
You need to listen to our Gilles de Rais episode if you want to hear some real butchering of French words.
All right. So, quote, acquired name, Russian, literally, debauché of Gregory.
Yefimovich?
Yefimovich.
Actually, hold on. I'll take a stab at this section.
Please do that.
Okay.
Gregory Yefimovich Novik.
Novik. Gotta get that. Yeah, so for a lowly peasant, he would actually go on to do some pretty interesting things. And it's also rumored that the name Rasputin actually means where two rivers meet, which allegedly gives patronage to the little village where he was born. And AJ was kind enough to share her notes from an etymology website, and there's a quote on there that reads, quote, acquired name, Russian, literally debauchee, however you say that word, of Grigory Yefimovich Noviakh. Gotta get that. Mystic and faith healer who held sway over court of Nicholas II of Russia. His nickname is from his doctrine of rebirth through sin, that that true Holy Communion must be preceded by immersion in sin. His name used figuratively in English from 1937 for anyone felt to have an insidious and corrupting influence, end quote. That was so much. Oh, also, his real name wasn't even actually Rasputin. It was a nickname that he was given. So, sounds like a little charlatan.
Sweet. So we're only a few minutes in and already messing up. Good. Great. Awesome. I had read that he entered the Verkhotur monastery with the desire to become a monk, but that he had left shortly afterward to get married to Praskovya Dubrovina in 1887 when he was 19. Then they would go on to have three children, only one of which survived, and in his early 20s, he just up and left his family to travel to Greece and the Middle East on several pilgrimages to the Holy Land. But the year 1903 would be a life-changing year for him as well, because that's when his travels would bring him to St. Petersburg.
Hmm. That's interesting, because I came across something that said his children died shortly after birth, but there is clearly still a photo available that depicts him with all three of his children that clearly look like they've grown, you know, past birth. This is all a shit show. I don't know what's going on with this episode anymore.
Maybe he stole them. I don't know.
Oh my god, maybe.
Anyway, screw it. I'm throwing my notes out. The dude was a big scammer. There's no beating around the bush. Interesting I read too was that he was one of seven children and he was the only child to have survived childhood.
It was probably the eyes, I guarantee it.
Well, that or he killed his siblings.
Dun,
dun, I'm just gonna
dun. Like
I'm
he killed gonna... his children.
Yeah. He's just out there killing everybody, slanging and banging.
No, that is the wrong usage of slanging and banging.
I know, but I like to say it anyway.
Banging and slaying. There you go.
So in 1905, that's when he would get to meet essentially the rulers of Russia at the time, the Tsar and Tsarina. And that there was a pretty extensive journey that he would go on as well, long before ever getting to the Tsar's court. So I already talked about, you know, how he went on a pilgrimage before that, and we'll dive a little bit more into that later. There is some speculation that he went on this pilgrimage to avoid punishment for aiding in the theft of a horse, while others claimed that he had seen the Virgin Mary, which supposedly inspired him to take this journey. But then again, other sources state that he was inspired by a young theologist by the name of Melody Zaborovsky. I don't know inspired how or why, but that's just a thing. Why are you two laughing?
Because I'm
just watching the notes he's editing. It's fine. It's fine.
Oh, I wasn't even paying attention.
I'm trying to, because I'm not trying to take, like, this is AJ's show. I'm not trying to, like, take it over. So I'm trying to, like, edit as quickly as possible.
It's okay, because I love, like, listening and learning things. So it's like, it's not a huge deal for me. But if ever you want me to say something, just make it hot pink and I'll be there.
Oh, okay. Sold.
Yeah, just go through and do that so she has some stuff to say.
I just put it in bold and I was like, AJ with an emoticon happy face.
Yeah, otherwise it's like, hey, I'm AJ. Here's my show, but you're just going
to
talk
to these guys.
Okay.
After we're done recording this, we're going to pick our next topic. We're going to take 2 months to all three of us collaborate on it so that it comes out solid. Third time's a charm. We got this. We got this.
I can't.
Next episode's about Charlie and her Durex.
You're such a dick. Rasputin had taken similar trips, but as Shelby mentioned before, the excursion he'd made to the St. Nicholas Monastery at Vercauteuil, whatever, that sounds French, but it's not, would be the one which, you know, supposedly changed him, transformed his life. He was a new man.
Yeah, okay. I actually don't recall if I even made mention of that, but it's fine. But what I do know is that during that trip, it was during that trip that he'd meet and would be, quote, profoundly humbled by a starets known as Makary, something. I'm clearly not Russian, so whatever. Rasputin would also spend several months here, likely where he would learn to read and write, and would eventually leave the monastery, complaining about some of the monks, quote, complaining that some of the monks, quote, engaged in homosexuality and criticizing the monastic life as too coercive.
Sounds like our buddy here might be a wee homophobic.
Yeah, just a little bit. He would not survive in 2021. He would be canceled before he could even look at someone.
Good.
Right. Was the Makary person, I'm assuming that it was a monk?
Yeah, so.
Or is that a place?
From what I gathered, Staret was like synonymous with like monk or enlightened person, something like that.
Yeah, because we mentioned Stanek.
If anybody has any earlier. Corrections, feel free to reach out to AJ this time, not me or Charlie.
So. A starets is an elder of an Eastern Orthodox monastery who functions as a venerated advisor and teacher. So they're basically like an elder in the church.
Okay. Charlie coming through with
the
hot
knowledge. So he was profoundly humbled by them, but he also complained because they loved each other in other ways.
So it just says that he, you know, was like inspired or humbled by one of them named Makary. Oh, okay. But yeah, I guess he didn't
maybe
like
he wasn't
most
in
of the
on
rest
it.
Of them. Yeah, maybe not. He wasn't in on the fun.
Right. Which is like right? Super weird too, because there's so many reports that he was like either part of a secret sex cult or started a secret sex cult. I don't know.
Both.
I'm getting vibes from our first collaborative episode. With this, like, what is it? The nude colonies over in what was that, Virginia or something?
I told my mom about that, and she was like, "You don't remember the story about your grandmother and the nudist colony?"
What?
And I was like,
"No!"
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's a not as good of a story as I was hoping, but it's still a pretty good story.
That's amazing. Charlie's eyes got so big.
Like, what? I did too. I was looking at my grandmother like, damn me, my goodness.
That just reminds me of those memes that like first started, I don't know, maybe 8 years ago. It's like, you ever just look at an old lady on a bus and you think to yourself, at one time, she did it too. I'm like, oh God. Oh God.
What?
I'm trying to be more PG on, because this isn't our show.
Oh.
You don't have to be PG. It's fine.
Oh, okay. So the meme says, you ever look at an old lady on a bus and you like you just think to yourself, like, yeah, she's gargled on a dick too.
Probably still is. I don't know why people like relegate the elderly to like being
there's
sexless.
There's Viagra.
And
they don't have to stop.
Yeah. I mean, like, the rate of STDs are, like, they skyrocket in, it's, like, nursing homes and assisted living. Because no one can get pregnant and, you know, just do whatever they
get a shot of penicillin, you're good to go in 3 days. It's fine.
Well, depending on what it is.
Come on, Dolores. 3 days, 72 hours, time's up. The beeper's beeping. I'm sorry. We have mortified
AJ. So now they have... So now they've been worrying about STDs and now they got COVID. No one's going to live in these homes. Everybody's dying. That's a lot of worries for a little old man that remembers like Vietnam and World War II.
That's fine. That's fine. He's got his Viagra. He's fine. As happy as
he's,
a clam.
He's fine. He's got it. He's fine. A little blue magic pill on a Monday is great.
Anyways, back to the story. He would make his way back to Pokrovskoy, completely changed to the point where he was strictly a vegetarian. He had sworn off alcohol, and he would regularly pray and sing. And the reason I make note of that is because, according to reports, his praying and singing was notably more than he had done previously. He would then go on to spend several months, possibly a couple years, just kind of traversing through Russia, visiting various holy sites. He may have even wandered to Mount Athos in 1900. Charlie is a lot more religious knowledge inclined than I am. Do you know anything about Mount Athos? Athos?
Not a clue.
Okay.
So, sounds like it's from Skyrim.
You know, I have been waiting for that game to not cost $60, and it still costs $60.
Oh, we do ESO. We do it online.
I might have to look into that.
There was a sale.
Dang it! I have to get back into gaming first, but that's neither here nor
there. There you go.
So, after his little travels through Russia doing whatever weird shit he was doing, he would eventually gain a small circle of followers, consisting mostly of some family members, with a couple other, you know, peasants in the mix, because, you know, how dare he not look down on them. And it would get to a point where a secret makeshift chapel was being built because the village priest and other residents started getting hostile towards him and his little following. So there was speculation that he was a member of a secret sex cult known as Klisti, or Klisti, where rituals were rumored to include self-flagellation and orgies. But the rumors claim to be unfounded. So, I don't know. I think he may have actually been, or may have actually started, a secret sex cult. I've heard so many conflicting stories on Rasputin.
What's wrong with consensual BDSM and orgies?
I don't know. For anybody that's interested, you can go to this lovely bar in Chicago on Thursdays. It's called Exit.
Not anymore.
Oh, did they close down? Or is it just like COVID? Well,
I
mean,
I think they're COVID closed.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So yeah, he's out cavorting around, having all types of fun, supposedly. And then soon after that would be his rise to prominence. By the early 1900s, word of his achievements, if you would like to call them that, had spread throughout Siberia. And I think we may have flubbed the timeline a little bit, because while he did go to St. Petersburg in 1903, he would not actually meet the Tsar until 1905. And before all of that occurred, he met several prominent figures in the religious community and acquired a reputation of his own as a staretz, or as I was saying earlier, you know, like a type of religious wise man or elder. And that was when he traveled to Kazan between 1904 and 1905. And it would be in November of 1905 that he would meet Tsar Nicholas and Tsarina Alexandra, the Romanovs. Rasputin was able to comfort their son Alexei, who was a hemophiliac, and he was quickly in their good graces and would eventually come to have significant influence throughout Russia.
Yeah, a lot of people thought that Rasputin had turned them into his puppet of sorts, specifically Alexandra. But we should get into more about the son before casting light on that lovely foreshadowing. So Alexandra developed an attachment of sorts to Rasputin after he'd appear to cure or ease Alexei's afflictions, though it's unclear when exactly he began doing this. There are reports of him being called to them in the spring of 1907 to pray for Alexei when he had internal hemorrhaging and somehow Alexei was just fine the next day. There was another incident in 1912 when Alexei suffered a large hematoma after a carriage ride and seemed to have been getting worse and worse. In desperation, Alexandra had Rasputin contacted, and he responded immediately with a letter saying, quote, "God has seen your tears and heard your prayers. Do not grieve. The little one will not die. Do not allow the doctors to bother him too much." Her son's ailments were no better the next day, but she still waited. And the day after that, it was fine. So it was really looking like Rasputin was a faith healer and miracle worker, but I highly doubt that that was the case, given many of the interesting details about his life.
Also, really quick, I want to ask, when were the Salem witch trials? Why was he not being burned at the stake for being a witch?
This was long after that.
Dang. Unfortunate.
Long after that.
Yeah, and because he was rendezvousing with the Romanovs, he might have even had some sort of protection.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Russia is very, very good at just silencing dissidents.
I don't think they were always like that.
I don't know about that.
I don't think so. But the royal family's belief in Rasputin would end up providing him with significant influence and social status. And this is where the controversy comes in, because he would begin exploiting his status and he would accept bribes and sexual favors from his admirers while subtly expanding his influence. While some of these people were absolutely like swooning over his so-called abilities, more hostility towards him, you know, was kind of coming over the horizon. Investigations were launched by the secret police, the church, and others, but no matter the outcome, the Tsar just refused to exile or condemn the guy. There were even some sexual assault allegations levied against him, two of which included the Tsar's teenage daughters, Olga and Tatiana. Then World War I hit, and Rasputin advised Nicholas to take control of the Russian armies while Alexandra handled domestic issues.
Yeah, and that would actually end up proving to be a devastating decision, because Russia's losses at that time just began stacking up. Like I made mention earlier, Russia was just taking L's left and right. They were just getting spanked. Just like they actually would, and at least according to this timeline, like they would some years later during the Winter War. Good job, Finland.
Simo haya.
Haya. Yeah, so all that in mind, I do ask that you keep in mind, too, while all of this is happening, Rasputin is actually having ministers, generals, and other political figures dismissed at his whim, while suggesting his own people for the roles, which just proves his allegiance to only himself. He had enacted methods that made him virtually untouchable. You know, that is, all the way up until his assassination in 1916. There was a previous attempt in 1914, but it was just that. It was an attempt. Rasputin was successfully assassinated on December 30th, 1916, at the home of Felix Yusupov. And that was due to a plan which had been concocted prior to being carried out, premeditated murder instead of crime of passion. And, it was like pretty well planned down to the smallest detail. And the weirdest thing to me about the assassination was that he consumed a good amount of cyanide laced cake and 3 glasses of laced wine, but went on seemingly unaffected. So the conspirators decided to just shoot him in the chest instead.
Why didn't they just do that at first?
Yeah, I don't know. And
less messy.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
I want to clean it up. I mean,
there's nothing really to clean up.
Right.
But, like, I've never heard of anybody being immune to cyanide.
Wait a second, though. Oh, wait. Was it cyanide or arsenic?
Someone that slowly gave themselves the poison and like built up a tolerance. Is that who you're talking about? There was a gentleman who did that.
I'm thinking of arsenic. There was a episode that Shelby and I previously did called the Black Widow Murders. And one of the husbands of this woman, she tried to kill him. And I think he had like 20 times the lethal dose of arsenic in his system.
Yeah.
And he survived.
That's crazy.
Hospitalized for a long time, but survived.
Yeah, there was another gentleman that was so scared of being poisoned that he slowly gave himself small amounts and built it up, so where he built a tolerance.
That's genius. I'm going to have to try that.
That is insane.
All right. Sounds like it's right up my alley then.
That's like so paranoid, though, to do something like that.
I think he was in a had a close war. He was in a war, I think. And he might have, I think he was like a spy. He was like double teaming sides or something like that.
Oh, he was a double insurgent. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, he was probably in Russia. Didn't they just do that to that political commentator? They tried to poison him on a plane?
Oh, yeah, they did. The guy that...
His name's like... I can't remember. It's like Natolvny or something. But his videos on YouTube are great. Not in English, but they have the option for English translations. And he just goes all in on Putin and the government. And I'm just like, oh, you are a brave man.
Yeah, no, because he's running against Putin to become the president of Russia. And as soon as he flew back to Russia, the second his plane landed, he was immediately arrested.
Unbelievable.
And then after he was arrested, just all of these videos came out. He's like, bring it, bitch.
Mm-hmm. He's going to die.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Oh, you're okay.
Total derail.
It's about Russia, so it's still somewhat a topic.
Right. Yeah, and the crazy thing, too, is that they had someone go into his apartment dressed like him to make sure it looked like he'd gotten home. And after getting back to the house, they went to check and make sure he was dead. And when they did, he got up and fought Yusupov. But Yusupov managed to get free. After chasing...
I think it's Yusupov.
Okay.
Russian names are hard.
Right. Yusupov into the courtyard. Rasputin was shot again and collapsed.
Okay, so he survived the first three shots, fought, and then, okay.
His body got wrapped up in a rug and dumped in the Malaya Nevka River. And that's that on the creepy-eyed mystic Rasputin, who was more than likely an old-timey supervillain.
Yeah, I'm just...
quick thing about that.
He used his faith healing on himself to get one last good fight out.
He had a health spell in his back pocket.
Just well, gain 50 HP potion.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm not finding it right now, but I feel like I read something years ago about how even though he was shot and stabbed or whatever and then thrown into that freezing river, that when they found his body, he wasn't even in the water. He was on shore. Like, he had managed to climb out after that.
Oh.
And then died. So.
I wonder if they ever, if they had done an autopsy, if they would have found water in the lungs. And his cause of death was actually drowning.
They did. They determined that his cause of death was drowning because there was water in the lungs. But I'm almost positive that he had, like, consumed a ton of water and then got out of the river, but then died. Because I think this was in the winter, too, wasn't it? Yeah, December.
Yeah, so yeah. I actually...
made a pact with somebody.
I came across that in a Time magazine article. It's actually listed as the fifth myth known about Rasputin.
Oh, so it's not
right.
True.
Yeah, it lists... I'll just read it verbatim. Much like the tale of his murder, the aftermath of Rasputin's death has been mythologized over the years. According to legend, after Rasputin's poisoned and shot body was thrown into the ice-cold river, he was fished out by a group of passersby who found that he was still alive when they dragged his body to the shore. However, the truth is that after Rasputin's already deceased corpse was thrown into the Malaya Nevka River, it took days for the police to find the body because the water had already frozen.
Okay. Well, that clears that up. It's still hard to kill.
It's so weird to think about, like, Rasputin and then police officers. Like, they just don't seem like they'd be on the same timeline in my brain. Kind of like Anne Frank and Martin Luther King.
Right.
Like, they were born the same. Like, they were around the same time. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, it's so weird, too. And Charlie and I talk about it all the time. I'm like, dude, this was only like 80 years ago. But it does not feel like some of this stuff should be here.
Right.
And we're back. We forgot to plug all of our shows. If you'd like to find Cite Your Sources, We're available on all major podcast platforms. Site is spelled C-I-T-E. Find us on Instagram, CYS Podcast. You can find Charlie on Instagram. What's your handle again?
Charlie_CYS.
Okay. I thought she changed it for some reason. You can find me on Instagram, Shelbitron_1.
As always, thank you so much for listening. Remember to rate and review wherever you listen. If you want to donate to the podcast, we do have a Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/apparitionsandalibis. Feel free to follow us on Instagram and Facebook. I love you all, and I hope you're having a great morning, night, afternoon, wherever you may be, and I will talk at you later.